Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, all the way to the end of the chapter. This is the reading of God's Word. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was cut up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured out like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. We are here to hear your word. Oh Father, we are not able to understand and believe your word. But Father, we thank you for your Spirit who lives in us, who are working in us to give us understanding and faith. Oh, Father, let us hear your word and let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us be more and more like your Son, witnessing him in everything that we do, say, and think. Oh, Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that your word will be understood by your people, believed by your people, to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We begin chapter 12 today. We have divided the whole book of Revelation into seven sections, if you remember. But the book of Revelation can also be divided into two big sections. Chapters 1 to 11 as one, and chapters 12 to 22 as the other. If the first section is about Jesus in the church, then the second section is about the church in Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus and His church are in a covenantal relationship. Jesus and His church are united to one another, in each other. Two are not separable. Now from chapter 12 to chapter 14, we see a unit. And just like all the seven sections in the book, this section, chapter 12 to 14, also deals with the time period that is in between Jesus' first and second coming, meaning the church age. It is very clear that the beginning part of chapter 12 deals with His birth, which is His first coming. And from chapter 14, verse 14 on, we read about eternal harvest, which happens at His second coming. So from His first coming to His second coming, that's the time period this chapters 12 through 14 deals with. Through seven churches, if you remember, we saw the state of God's church in this world during the whole church age. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, through seven churches, we saw what happens to the church during that time between the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. And through seven seals and seven trumpets, we saw how God is judging this sinful world and how God is saving His people. And it also dealt with the whole church age. And now through our section, chapters 12 through 14, through seven stories, we will see how the church is engaged in a spiritual battle throughout the whole church age. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there is a spiritual battle going on right now. One of the worst things that could happen to the church is that church is unaware of this battle. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, which we're dealing with on Fridays, chapter 6, verse 12, he said, "For our struggle, our fighting, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." There are forces that are against Jesus Christ and His people. And that fight began long, long time ago in Genesis 3 and even before that in heaven. That fight, that battle started and it continues. I mean, think about it. Let's say you are in a war, and yet you do not know that, and you're not prepared for it. That will be the worst case for you. And so many churchgoers, they don't know that there is spiritual battle that goes on every single minute of their lives. We believe in God. We also believe that there is Satan and his followers. And they are not sleeping. They are working very, very hard. And I'm not saying that we should go look for Satan in every single things that happen. And there are some people who are like that, you know. Even having a cold is because of evil spirit. So that spiritual battle that they're waging includes casting out, you know, common cold evil spirit. Of course, that is not what the Bible is talking about. But we'll talk about that more when we study Ephesians chapter 6, because that's where it's very clearly taught. But remember, there are forces that are against Jesus Christ and his people, and they are working very hard. Their king is, according to chapter 12, verse 9, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and the Satan. It's just one being, but he's called many things in the Bible. And there are his followers, two beasts we will meet in chapter 13, verse 1, and chapter 13, verse 11. And the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, in chapter 14, verse 8. And those who worship the beast and his image, and those who receive the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand, we'll meet them in chapter 13, verse 16, and chapter 14, verse 9. So, in these chapters, we'll meet these forces who are against Christ and against us, against God's church. But it is not to scare you or anything like that. Because if you read the rest of the book of Revelation, in chapters 15 and 16, the Satan's people who have received his mark, they are destroyed. In chapters 17 through 19, the Babylon and the two beasts, they are destroyed. And in chapter 20, the Satan is destroyed. And in chapters 21 and 22, we see the heaven, the kingdom of God, perfectly and completely, visibly consummated. That is the story of the book of Revelation. God triumphs. And all the evil forces that will be completely destroyed. So the book of Revelation does not scare us. Actually, it brings so much joy to us as we see what God has done and what God is doing and how God is going to consummate everything perfectly and completely. Well, in chapter 12, we meet three characters. And we're going to take next today and maybe three more times to look at this chapter. And it is really exciting chapter. We meet three characters. We see a woman. And we see a male child who is born of woman. And we see the dragon. Well, today we will deal with the woman. And next time we will deal with dragon. Then male child after that, and we will put all these stories together to understand what this chapter is telling us. So today, the woman. Verses 1 and 2. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Now, obvious question is, who is this woman? Well, there are many views. First, some say that she is Mary, for obvious reason. If we read verse 5, it says that she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nation with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Obviously, verse 5 is speaking of Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. It is very clear that the child is Jesus Christ. Thus, they argue that woman must be Mary. But in verse 6, we read that the woman flees to wilderness and stays there in the wilderness for 1,260 days. Now, we have already looked at this number, 1,260 days. It is the same duration of time as 48 months and same duration of time as that phrase we saw, a time and times and a half. Remember, time, meaning one time, times, double, so they're 1 plus 2, 3, and a half time, 3.5 years. 3.5 years is 48 months, and it is 1,260 days. So all those three things are referring to the same period, same duration of time. And all of them are referring to the entire church age. Thus, this woman exists for the entire duration of God's church. And also in verse 17, we see a phrase, the rest of her children, which refers to God's people. Thus, we conclude that the woman definitely includes Mary, but not just Mary alone. It is not just her, for obvious reason, but she is included, definitely. But not just her alone. Well, second view, some say that she is the Old Testament Israel. That this woman is referring to the Old Testament Israel. But for the same reason we have already looked at, that this woman exists during the church age, 1,260 days, and there is this people who are labeled as the rest of her children. So we conclude that the woman includes the Old Testament Israel, Old Testament saints, I should say, but not just them. So then what is our view? Our view is that the woman here is the church, including all of God's people from the Old Testament and the New Testament. That is our conclusion, and we'll look at other verses to see that that is true. Now, as we search for the identity of this woman, we cannot not begin with Genesis 3:15 for obvious reasons. Let us go there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is after Adam and Eve sinned, and God comes to judge them and judge Satan. And Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," you meaning Satan. God says, "I will put enmity between Satan and the woman, And between your seed, Satan's seed, and woman's seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. So Satan is the enemy of the woman. And Satan's seed is the enemy of the seed of woman. The seed of woman will crush Satan's head, but Satan will bruise the heel of the seed of woman. Here we conclude that the seed of woman is Jesus Christ, but not just him alone. In him, all of God's people are seed of woman. Yes, Jesus crushes Satan's head. We know that by resurrecting from the dead. But his heel is bruised by Satan, pointing to the cross, death on the cross. But you and I and all of God's people are united to Jesus Christ. Thus we, the church, too crush the Satan's head. If you go to Romans 16, verse 20, this is what you read. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Here, the phrase, your feet, is not referring to feet of Jesus Christ, but God's people's feet. So yes, it is Jesus Christ who crushes Satan's head, but in Jesus Christ, you and I, we do the same. And our heels are also bruised. Yes, many of God's people die, and all of us suffer. And in the Old Testament, we see many places where God's people are expressed as a woman, collectively, as a woman. Well, let us look at a few places. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Verses 1 through 5. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your husband is your maker. So here, Isaiah 54 is talking about is it is prophesying that God's people will not only of Israelites, but Gentiles will come in. So there are two women here, woman with husband, which is Old Testament Israel, and Gentiles are woman, but no husband yet. But in verse 1, it says, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. So Gentiles will be more numerous than Israelites as God's one people. That is what we're reading there. So here, God's people are collectively expressed as a woman. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she traveled, she brought forth, before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion traveled, she also brought forth her sons. So here Zion is referring to heaven. And collectively, all God's people are expressed as a woman and brought forth children, numerous children. I think this is where, you know, people like Calvin and like us, we refer the church as a mother. You know, mother is the one who gives birth to a child and who raises the child, nourishes the child. So church is a mother. Because you come to church, hear the word of God, to be born again, and you eat of heavenly manna, heavenly milk, to grow and grow. So you get the idea. So here the woman is a picture of God's people together. Galatians chapter 4. Let us go there together. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Let me read to you chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bond woman and one by the free woman. Now here we have two women, just like what we've been reading. But the son by the bond woman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking. So Paul chooses a story in the Old Testament, and he uses that story to tell us the truth. So here's one woman who is not free, bond woman, and through her many children is born. And here's a free woman, and through her many children are born. But here to the free woman, these children are promised. The other is not. So verse 24, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. So Hagar is used as an example. It's compared to Mount Sinai experience. Strictly about the law. And we are, before we were saved, we were slaves to the law. Thus, we have to die because that law condemns us. But verse 25, now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and correspond to the present Jerusalem. Corresponding to the present Jerusalem, meaning the earthly Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above, now heavenly Jerusalem, is free. She is our mother. So two mothers. One belongs to this world. The other belongs to heaven. And two mothers are having their children. But one group of children from above, they're free. They're God's people. But the other, they are not. Do you understand? So, what you need to do is you see the woman in our passage as a group of collective of God's people. If I were to keep reading, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of desolate than of the one who has a husband. Do you remember this passage from Isaiah? And you brethren like Isaac. See, Isaac is representing a child that was from promise, from God's blessing. Like Isaac are children of promise. So believers are compared to Isaac. Because Isaac was promised by God, but Ishmael was not. Ishmael was born from bond slave woman, and that is a symbol of earthly people who do not know Jesus Christ. Verse 29, but as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him, who are born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. Nothing changed. Non-Christians persecute Christians. Verse 30, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the bond woman and her son, for the son of the bond woman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bond woman, but of the free woman. And Paul's argument there is that thus, in Jesus Christ, you are free of the law. You are not under the law. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, they are still under the law. They are children of slave woman. You get the idea what Paul is trying to say. Thus, the woman in our passage points to all of God's people. Old Testament people of God give birth to Jesus Christ, Romans 9:5, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh. So Old Testament God's people, through them, Jesus is born. So the woman includes Old Testament people. God's people. And later on we read about the rest of her children. Rest of her children refers to the New Testament people of God. So in this woman, all of God's people are included. The woman is the church. From Adam all the way to the last one who is going to be saved. The woman is the church. Let us study a little bit more about this woman. Verse 1. It says that this woman is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. First, clothed with the sun. Judges chapter 3 verse 31b says, let those who love God be like the rising of the sun in its might. So the Christian people are compared to the rising of the sun. The sun rising, chasing the darkness away. As sun comes up, darkness flees. There's no way the darkness can endure the sun. So we see the power in sun. And Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, who is this that grows like the dawn, as beautiful as the full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners? You know, times have changed. I don't think that we will describe a beautiful woman the way that we read it here. Beautiful as a moon, a pure as sun. We don't hear that kind of thing anymore. But you get the idea here. As pure as the sun. So if a church is clothed with the sun, not only church has power, but church is pure. Meaning no deceit, nothing to hide. And it also points to faithfulness. Someone who can be trusted. Yes, this is the church of God. We are clothed with the sun. We are powerful and pure. But this is the image of Jesus Christ. We are called to be like Him. Do you remember in chapter 1, verse 16b, we saw Jesus there and it says His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Psalm 104, verse 2a, covering yourself, God covers Himself with light as with a cloak. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8b, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So fitting description of this woman, who is the church, she is clothed with the sun. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So we meet this woman, we meet the picture, true picture of the true church, and she is clothed with the sun. And the moon is under her feet. Do you remember from Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 10? There is this woman as beautiful as the full moon. But the beauty and the moon is related here. But you see that moon is under her feet. The beauty is under her feet. The church rules over the beauty. The church rules over the beauty, not the other way around. The church defines the true beauty. True beauty serves the church. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to follow what the world says the beauty is. Some people, even though they're Christians, their definition of beauty is what the world has for the definition of beauty. That should not be. Because we are beautiful because of Jesus Christ. Not because you did something to your hair or you have some kind of jewelry, in your parts of your body. You're beautiful because of Jesus Christ. All the earthly beauty will disappear. You know, that's why when I look at this old TV stars or movie stars, they were so beautiful when they're young. But see, that physical beauty, the beauty that belongs to this world, doesn't last. They get old and they're not beautiful anymore. It's not eternal beauty. But the true beauty in Jesus Christ lasts forever. We are beautiful to God because of Christ. So do not be slaves to the world. Don't listen to what they have to say. They will tell you their own things, but it's not true. And also in the Old Testament, the moon is connected to the observance of festivals and special days. All of those things are for us, not we for them. All of those things serve us. They are under our feet. For example, Sabbath, when we observe the Lord's Day, it is for us. We observe, then we benefit. Thus, it serves us. We are not made for Sabbath. Sabbath is for us. And when you use the Sabbath, when you observe it, then you will benefit because it serves us. If you don't, then you lose out. Yeah. In the worldly sense, you might not realize what you are losing out, but spiritually, you are losing out. Yeah. It is so, we're living in a period where even churches are afraid to tell its people to observe the Lord's Day as Christian Sabbath. It's so unpopular. But if you do not observe it as holy, you are the one who is sinning and you are the one who is losing out. Anyway, we're not talking about that today. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars. So here, sun and moon and now stars. Sun, moon, and stars remind us of Joseph's dream in Genesis. Genesis 37 verse 9, now he had still another dream and related to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. So the sun was his father, the moon was his mother, and 11 stars were his 11 brothers. They were all bowing down to him. Joseph is the king. A crown with 12 stars. A picture of king. Yes, the church is the king of heaven. We rule with Christ, who is true king. But we are also kings. And what does this show? That the authority is given to her. Authority is given to the church. But here's irony. We see a king, but we see a woman. A woman is king. There we see that it's weak, but strong. Just like Jesus Christ, when we saw him in chapter 5, he was a lion, strong, but he was also lamb who was slain, weak. Yes, spiritually we are strong, but in this world we live as weak. And we'll talk about that more in 3 weeks. Because this woman, who is powerful in heaven, but when you read about her in chapter 12, she flees all the time. She's being persecuted. She's suffering. But that is her picture in this world. As the church lives her life in this world, she lives as a weak woman. But at the same time, spiritually, she is the king. He's strong. Now this woman in our passage is contrasted with another woman in Revelation 17, the Babylon, the mother of all harlots, the mother of all prostitutes. So in Book of Revelation, we meet two women. One, the church, the other, the world. And these two women gives birth to their children. You get the point. And there's spiritual battle between these two groups of people and between Jesus Christ and his followers, angels, and Satan. And his followers, fallen angels. You will meet this Babylon, the mother of harlots, in Revelation 17. These two women are complete opposite. One is heavenly and the other is earthly. The question is this, brothers and sisters, who is our mother? Mother above or mother below? Heavenly Jerusalem or earthly Jerusalem? This mother, this woman we meet in chapter 12, or the Babylon, the mother of harlot in chapter 17? Who is our mother? Of course, the heavenly Jerusalem. The woman is the church, and you are her children. Thus, in her, we see who we are. Because this woman is church, we are portrayed by this woman. Yes, you and I, we are pure. Pure as sun. Yes, we are beautiful, beautiful as moon. And we are powerful kings. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. And later we'll learn how this woman lives here on earth. The rest of the chapter tells us. This is who we are in heaven forever. But in this world, chapter 12, verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness. Chapter 12, verse 13, and the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to a male child. Chapter 12, verse 17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. As pure and beautiful and powerful king, we live a life of suffering and persecution. This is what the gospel shows us. Because why do we live? Even though we are pure and beautiful and powerful kings, why we live a life of suffering and persecution? Why? Because that is exactly how Jesus lived. That's the life of Jesus Christ. That he is the powerful king, and yet he lived a life of suffering and death. And it is our honor to follow him, to be like him. Chapter 12, verse 4b, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Yes, Jesus suffered. This dragon, only thing he wanted to do was kill him. But Our Lord Jesus Christ triumphs, verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to His throne. And in Jesus Christ, you and I, even though we might live that suffering and death life here, but we too triumph in Him. Verse 11, and they overcame Him, overcame Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Jesus triumphed through His death. And just like Him, we triumph through His blood. And it says that we do not love our lives even when faced with death. This is the life of church. You might have different opinion and different idea of how the church of God is. But the Bible is very clear. Isn't it? But brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Because here, we also see that all the things that happens in this world, God shows them through signs of heaven. See, chapter starts, a great sign appeared in heaven. So great sign appeared in heaven, and because what we see in heaven, something happens in the earth. It shows that God is in control of what happens in this world. Do not fear, brothers and sisters, for God is in control. And you already know the ending of everything. That God triumphs. The Lord wins. The victory is His. And we have the same victory in Jesus Christ. And this is what you need to believe. Yes, this life as a Christian will be hard. Especially if you truly want to live as a Christian. It's really hard. But understand that that hard life is the life of Christ. It is honor for us to be like Him, to imitate Him. And we understand no matter how hard it is, the victory at the end is ours. Because Jesus has already triumphed. This is our faith. This is how we live. Believing that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Yes, Jesus has the victory, and we have the victory in Jesus Christ. That is the story of the book of Revelation. That is what this book is all about. We win because Jesus has won. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Even though the woman flees and being persecuted, it also tells us that You have a place that is prepared for this woman, and You will nourish her. But nourish her in the wilderness. Oh Father, yes, our life here on earth is like living in a wilderness. There's no resting place here. And we are looking forward to what is to come. Oh Father, let us clearly understand your will for us. Let us truly understand and believe so that we may be more and more like your Son. Live the very same life that your Son has lived, but always remembering that Jesus Christ has the victory and we already have that victory in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, the forces that are against us are very powerful, and it is not something that we are able to fight on our own strength. But we thank you that you have given us the full armor of God, Jesus Christ Himself, that you have clothed with us, Jesus Christ. And in Him, we already have the victory. Let us be faithful to you. Let us always hope in you. Bless your church. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.